be revising yesterday's Avyakta Murli. There was a great Roman historian whose name was Tacitus. This Tacitus has written a book, and in that book, the Annals, he has described about a great Roman emperor. It will be again a mistake to call that emperor great, because that emperor was very, very cruel. People call him a madman. His name was Nero. And Tacitus has written in his book, The Annals, that Nero was so cruel that he used to call all the who's who of Rome to his palace, and he used to conduct a lot of parties and feasts for those people. And during those festivities of elite people, if suppose by evening there would not be any light, so to illuminate that party, what he used to do, he used to call all the prisoners, he used to call all those poor people of his country, and he would make them stand on those stakes and set them afire. So they used to burn, and in that light of those prisoners, of those poor people, in that light the party would go on. Throughout the night they would enjoy, and not only that, he used to play his violin in that night. So that's why there is a saying that, which I told yesterday also, that Nero was fiddling when Rome was burning. Why I am telling this story? This is the tendency of a man who enjoys when others are suffering. But the question is not of Nero. The question is of those guests, Nero's guests. So one person is Nero, and others are those who are coming there and joining him. And they are not saying anything, and they are silent, and they are not uttering a single word while they see that others are burning. The poor, the innocent people are burning, but they are all silent. So that is why this phrase has come, Nero's guests. Nero's guest means those people who don't do anything when there is a need to be done, when there is a need to do something very important. Suppose Ravan is Nero, and this entire world is burning, and he is making the human souls to burn with vices. Who are we? That is the question. Who are we? If we are not doing anything to extinguish this fire, if we are not doing anything to stop this fire, then probably we are those Nero's guests. Whenever in politics or everywhere anything mishap happens, they use this phrase, Nero's guest. Just as recently in Mumbai, the Elphinstone Bridge, lot of people died in that stampede. So again now the question has come, who are Nero's guests? Everybody, the blame game has started. Some are blaming the railway officials, some are blaming the politicians, and everybody is trying to figure out who is Nero's guest. So who are Nero's guests? Nero's guests are those people who are unconcerned. Nero's guests are those people who are not doing anything to assuage the calamities, the fire that is going rampant in the world. Are we that? Are we those Nero's guests? If suppose we are not doing anything for this world, probably we are those Nero's guests. So with that background, we will try to understand this Murli. This Murli is all about being a yogi. Baba is talking in detail about a yogi. Who is a Rajyogi? How he should be what he should be, what he eats, what he drinks, how he talks, how he behaves, how he moves around. In Bhagavad Gita, there is one word, Stito Pragya Yogi, an ultimate yogi, Pragya. That word has come from Pragya. Pragya is not being just a pandit. Pragya is not just knowledge. Pragya is a very higher word in Sanskrit. It means something. It is not just even the spiritual knowledge. To become an intelligentsia is not to become a pragyavan. Pragya is something which is the culmination of the knowledge, even the culmination of the spiritual knowledge. The practical intelligence is sometimes called pragya. The culmination of even the wisdom is called pragya. So one is pragya, another is jnana. When jnana reaches the highest, it is known as pragya. So yogi who is stita pragya, how he should behave, that's what Arjuna is asking to Shri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 2, shloka number 54, he asks, tell me what are the signs of yogi. And from there, from shloka 55 to 74, in those 20 shlokas, God is telling about a yogi. Who is a yogi? Who should be called a yogi? When you will say that a particular person is yogi, what a yogi eats, how much he sleeps, how much he drinks, all the qualities of a yogi. In this Murli also, Baba is describing about a yogi. Yesterday we saw this Murli and we discussed this Murli with different methods, with different relationships. From last 3 days we have been talking about this Murli. Today I will just tell you something about different qualities a yogi should possess. A yogi should have certain qualities. So a yogi should have, just as we say that we are going to become gods and goddesses of golden age, and those gods and goddesses, those deities, they are all virtuous, they are 16 celestial degree full. So we will try to extract certain 16 points from this Murli, qualities of a yogi. So what are the qualities of a yogi otherwise you know of, how a yogi should be? What are the qualities of a yogi? When you will call a person a yogi, he is renunciate. Okay, then his mind would be stable. He is always stable in all the trials and tribulations of life. No matter what upheavals are coming, he is very much stable. So stability, that equipoise, that equanimity of the mind, that tranquility of the mind, that calm, composed nature of the mind is a sign of a yogi. Then what else? He is very humble. Actually, in the list of divine qualities in Bhagavad Gita in chapter number 18, God has mentioned the list of divine qualities. In that divine quality, fearlessness is one first, and just near about that is humility. If a person has got everything, but suppose he has not become humble, that person cannot be called a yogi. So humility. Then detachment. A yogi is very much detached mentally, emotionally, in all his relationships, because without detachment one cannot become yogi. This is such a important qualification of a yogi. Then what is humility? Egolessness. He is carefree. Yogi is carefree. He is not bothered about future. He is concerned only with the present. He is concerned only with this moment. He is not bothered about the past, which is dead. He is not bothered about the future, which is yet not there, which is just imaginary. His perfection in his karmas, in his action. But even whilst doing action, there is inaction in action. That's what is written in Gita. Inaction in action. He is detached from his action also. He is like the lotus, which also represents purity. ब्रह्मन् ध्याय कर्माणि संघं तत्व करोति यः लिप्यते न स पापेन. ही इज अनटच्ड बाय सिन. ही इज लाइक दैट लोटस. ही इज अनटच्ड बाय सिन. Nothing touches him. He does the work. He does the actions. He does all the good deeds. But even those good deeds do not touch him. And there is a spark of purity in his personality. Unbroken personality. Undivided purity. Unbroken brahmacharya. That is the mark of a yogi. Then what else? He is nashto moha. He is destroyer of all the attachments. His all attachment to this world has been destroyed. He is no more attached to anything, and he is living in this world only for the world benefaction. Nothing for his own self. No his vested interest. What else? He is detached observer. He is observing this world as a detached, in a very detached manner. His detached observership is a qualification of a yogi. Then he is focused. Yeah? He is very happy in his life. There cannot be any streak of unhappiness anywhere touching his personality. Then what else?
Unshakable.
Qualification of a yogi.
Unshakable
in unmovable.
Broad
intellect. He has very broad intellect, very bright intellect, very large intellect. He is broad-minded, generous, magnanimous personality. Then what else? Yeah? He is very much near to God. He has a very close relationship with God. Then he is very simple. Then he is devoted only to one. Then he is far-sighted. He knows what is going to happen in future. He is always in that stage of trikal. He knows what is present, what is past, and what is future. So he is not easily fooled by any of these circumstances. Then he has tolerance. He is the embodiment of tolerance. We have to learn tolerance from two things or two persons. One is earth and second is cow. These are the two symbols of tolerance. Yesterday's Murli Baba said, these mothers are cow and I am the cowherd boy. I am Gopal and these are all cows. So cows represent tolerance and earth represent tolerance. And the word go means earth also, and senses also, and cows also. So they represent tolerance. Then what else? He is beyond all the desire for name, fame, and glory. He is beyond all this desire. Somewhere, Swami Vivekananda has said, the worst of all the desires is the desire for fame. For a yogi, yogi has surmounted lust, anger, greed, attachment, even ego. But then one thing remains, the desire to become famous. And that is the worst of all the desires. Then what else?
Unlimited
disinterest. Yeah, that is known as vairagya. That is known as dispassion. So these are the sum of the things. Now come to the Murli. We will take out 16 points, 16 qualifications of a yogi. First, cooperation. First, cooperation. A yogi cooperates in that divine task of the Lord, in that supreme task of God. God is carrying out his divine task. God is carrying out his elevated task. God is carrying out his spiritual task at this moment, in this confluence age. And yogi is someone who cooperates. Cooperates with his own intellect yoga. Cooperates with his own purity of the mind, purity of the soul, purity of the hearts. He cooperates with his pure mind, with his pure intellect. His purity is blessing for the world. His purity is blessing for the entire nature. His very existence on this planet earth is blessing for the earth. So the first qualification of a yogi is his cooperation. It is shown in Bhagavatam that Shri Krishna is uplifting the mountain and all others are helping him with their little fingers. somebody is holding stick. It is shown that everybody is helping. It is his task of uplifting this mountain, this Govardhan of Kali Yuga. And all others helped him. Actually, he doesn't require anybody's help. He alone is enough. But still, he takes help of everybody. So, the first qualification of a yogi is to cooperate. So, in that way, it also means that in no way we should not be non-cooperative. We will be non-cooperative when we will have vicious thoughts. We will be non-cooperative when we will have waste thoughts. We will be non-cooperative when we are wasting our time. This is the time of awakening. This is the time of awakening the entire world, which is lost in sleep and which is lost in slumber of ignorance. It is our divine task to help God, who has come on this confluence age, who has come on this planet. So, check yourself. Or we need to check ourselves. How much I am cooperating? Am I cooperating, or in another way, rather I am doing some disservice or becoming a hindrance in this task of world transformation? God has come down on this planet Earth and He has come to transform this world. Am I somewhere a hindrance? My thoughts, my feelings, my emotion, my temperament, my behavior. First. Second qualification of a yogi is tirelessness. He is athak. Why he is tireless? Because his soul is charged with purity. Because his soul is charged with that divine intoxication. So how can he get tired? There is no question of any tiredness. Person gets tired only, not because of work, only when he is body conscious. It is body consciousness that tires you. Baba has said so many times in Sakar Murli that if you are soul conscious and you go down till Abu Road, you will not get tired. So second qualification of a yogi is tirelessness. If you do anything, any service for that matter, and with self-respect or with soul consciousness and with internal calm and peace and with silence, probably you will not get tired. It is the blabbering, it is the chattering that tires you. All the worldly jargon that goes on in your mind, that tires you. Not the elevated thoughts. Thoughts of self-respect, thoughts of love of God, whose task it is. These thoughts, if you work, if you do your service, you will never get tired. So the second qualification of the yogi is tirelessness. Third qualification, zeal and enthusiasm. He never loses his enthusiasm. He is always enthusiastic. He never gets, nothing dampens his spirit. Nothing is there, no power in this world can throw that spirit into doldrums. He is ever enthusiastic, ever animated, ever moving in that dance of ecstasy. The divine melody is always in his heart. Such non-stop enthusiasm, such unceasing enthusiasm is the mark of a yogi. If we are lacking somewhere in enthusiasm, this last season's second Murli, 15th November 2016, Baba said, if you get tired, if somebody is exhausted, what you should do? No. Last season's second Murli, we revised it. What you should do if somebody is tired, where you should take that person? You take him and take him to a yogi for 5 minutes. Take that person to a yogi for 5 minutes and his enthusiasm will come back. So you have to seek the company of highly spirited yogis. You have to seek the company of enthusiastic yogis, because that company will color you. Otherwise, how much what you will do? You read Murli, you were in silence, you did everything on your own, but still you are not coming out of that listlessness, unenthusiastic state of the mind. You have to meet with such enthusiastic people. The third mark is enthusiasm. Fourth, speed. Fourth is speed. A yogi always progresses with intense speed in GYDS, Gyan Yog Dharana Seva. All the four, GYDS, his speed is very much. Not only in knowledge, but also in yoga. Not only in yoga, but all the dharanas. Not only in dharanas. You cannot say that I am very much busy in yoga and I am very much busy in reading and churning murlis. That's why I couldn't do service. Spiritual contemplation should never be made an excuse for material negligence. Spiritual contemplation should not be made an excuse for material negligence. This statement has come in Swami Yogananda's book, Autobiography of a Yogi. The first ever autobiography written by a yogi. He said that, I did not study for my exams. I thought that my guru will help me. But I was wrong. I failed. Because you cannot give spiritual excuses. I invoke divine powers to pass in examination. Grace of God, he has said another place, grace of God will help you in everything except passing examination without studying. So it's study. So you cannot make spirituality, I was doing yoga, that's why I neglected my service. You cannot give spiritual excuses. Dadi's class was there, that's why I did not do service. Service first. Sir, when service calls, you have to give up everything. You give up everything. No matter even if Baba is coming in Shantivan. But if service is calling you, you have to give up that also. Baba will come to you. One person has an experience. He was an electrician, and he was on that pole doing some electric work, and it was his duty. But Baba had come in Shantivan and he wanted to go, but it was the seva which was given to him. And whilst doing that repairing work on that electric pole, he had the divine vision of Shiva Baba there only. So, service first. So the fourth thing is speed. Then fifth is easy and constant yoga. Easy and constant yoga. He will not have to make efforts. He will always have easy and constant meditation. He is always in the state of not doing but being. Meditation is a state not of doing. It's a state of being. So that is yoga. Another is next. Sixth. Close relationships with God. The mark of a yogi is he is having all the relationships with God. Baba used the word chatrak. Chatrak is that bird which is thirsty for those rains. It will never drink any other water. It wants only that rain. So these are the souls who are having very much close relationships with God. As if they and God are united. They are combined and none can separate them. They live in that state of perpetual union. They are spiritual couples. They are close friends of God. That's why Baba comes and says, hello, handshake. He does handshakes with them. So the mark of a yogi is having close relationships with God. Next, the mark of a yogi is happiness. Mark of a yogi is happiness. He is always in a state of happiness. No wave of sorrow can come to them. No trace of sorrow can come to them because they know that they are embodiment of happiness, because they know that they are children of the ocean of happiness. So all the sorrowful emotions, all these emotions that give or bring pain, grief, suffering, misery, agony in life have gone. Now they'll stay in that state of perpetual happiness. Such perennial happiness. So, the mark of a yogi is happiness. Next, the mark of a yogi is embodiment of attainments. Prapti Swarup. They don't have, I want this, I want that. I want this, I want that. You will never be satisfied with these worldly things. Chitta Pragya Yogi in Gita is described as a one who is satisfied with the soul. His satisfaction is not anywhere outside of the soul. This world cannot make you happy at all. None of these things can make you happy. Vivekananda has said somewhere, a very, very bold and very strong statement. He said, I hate this world. I hate this world, this nightmare, this dream, with its fair faces and false hearts, with its sanctified shopkeeping, blackguardism. I hate this world. I don't want anything of this world. Nothing of this world can ever satisfy me. This is all mere shopkeeping is going on. This is all fair faces, and inside there is a falsity in the hearts. Falsehood trade is going on. So I don't want anything of this world. Such intense spirit of Vairag for this world. We don't want anything of this world. This is an old world, Baba says. Old dilapidated house. The entire world is in shambles. We don't want this. It is about to get destroyed. The destruction is around the corner. So, yogi is someone who is self-satisfied. Yogi is someone who is embodiment of all the attainments. Next, yogi is successful. Embodiment of success, siddhi, swarup. All success come to him on its own, on their own. In that stage of success. Then yogi is someone who is very powerful. Yogi is someone who is powerful. His stage is very powerful. Then yogi is someone who is having constant and stable stage. So these are the six qualifications here. First, we told four, and these are six. Then next, the qualification of a yogi is renunciation, tyag. You cannot think of becoming a yogi without renunciation. If you want to enjoy all these niceties of the world, if you want to enjoy everything of this world and you think of becoming a yogi, it's not possible. Yogi is someone where there is a burning vairag in his heart. Yogi is someone who is absolutely disinterested in anything of this world. He is in the world but not of this world. That is the stage of a yogi. The internal stage of a yogi is one of total renunciation. Internal renunciation. It's not the renunciation for show off. It is not just to show people that I am this or I am that. No. His renunciation is real renunciation. His renunciation is arising out of that internal wisdom. His renunciation is arising out of that internal deep love of God. Because he feels that before that love of God, before that glorious love of this God, this world, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. This is what his internal state of the mind is. To what extent I have become Tyagi? To what extent I have become Vairagi? To what extent I have become such unlimited renunciate? To become such unlimited renunciate is the mark of a yogi. So that is one. Then, yogi is someone who is world is self-transformer. 12th, self-transformation. He is someone who does self-transformation. Baba said, you came to this land of transformation, Parivartan Bhumi, and if you don't get transformed, this is such a pitiable affair. You come here, this is the land of transformation, make efforts to transform yourself. To bring about that internal metamorphosis. That internal sea change. Coming here should be a turning point of life. You come here and everything changed. Not just who come for the first time, but even who come again and again. Every time you come to Madhuban, a new change should come to you. Every time you come to Madhuban, you should have some new planning for self-change, self-analysis, self-talk, self-accounting, retrospection, introspection. You have to enter into that cave of introspection, cave of solitude, cave of silence, and come out from there totally transformed. So the mark of a yogi is, he is self-transformer. Next, mark of a yogi is, he is experimenter in the laboratory of practice. He is the one who experiments. Every day he experiments. Where does he experiment? In the laboratory of practice. His life itself has become a laboratory. Mahatma Gandhi has written in his autobiography, all the, in detail he has described everything. His life is as if a laboratory and he is experimenting with truth every now and then. He is seeing, I have done this, what is the result? What I should have done, what I did not, I should not have done. He is examining himself. This entire, you know, everyone should write his own or her autobiography. And every day we should write. Our autobiography should be like a, as if a letter to God. Before we end the day, before sleeping every day, write a letter. It should start with Baba and then write down. Whatever you did, the whole day you write down. I'm not telling you just to write down the yoga chart. Writing yoga chart is different. But to write your whole routine of the day, that is known as diary writing. Just write down, Baba, today morning I got up at 3:30, then I did yoga. My yoga was not very powerful. If it is powerful, you write that also. Everything you write down. Today I went, there was Dadiji's class. Then in that class, I heard this was a very good point, which Dadi said. Then there was a class in Madhuban. Then I did this seva. You write down everything and at last write down good night. So this is a your daily letter to Baba. I am not telling, to write chart is very difficult. When you tell people to write chart, they give up. They write for few days and they give up. But yes, diary writing you can always do. If you go to founding father of America, Benjamin Franklin, he has written, he had that habit of writing his diary every day. He would write down, he had made the list of 13 divine virtues and then he used to check at night whether I was humble. Did I get angry today? Everything. Long back in 17th century he did that. Writing diary. So, writing. So, make this life an experiment. A lab. A lab of practice. Experimenter in the laboratory of practice. This is the mark of a yogi. Next mark of the yogi is, he is detached observer. Baba said, see yourself as a detached observer. Look at yourself as a detached observer. This is me and this is me. I am as if I am not that. I am seeing myself. How I behave, how I talk, how I move, how I sing, how I dance. What are the different poses of the mind? Sometimes tall, sometimes small, sometimes heavy. What I am. Who I am. What I am. Where I am. See yourself. See your different poses. See the different postures. See the different appearances or countenances of your own self. As if there is a mirror. And see in that mirror. Recently, Saturday's Vardhan blessing, Baba said, your actions are mirror. You are mirror. Your actions are mirror. See in them. Whether they are like Brahma Baba's action. So check. Next mark of a yogi is, a yogi is from the second Murli. He is someone who is always in his self-respect. Self-respect Swaman. You are the smile on the lips of God. You are the jewel on his forehead. You are that bead in the garland of victory which is around his neck. You are the light of his eyes. You are the golden chancellor who take golden chance. You are the ones who are the close friends of God. You are the ones with whom God comes and does handshake. You are the spiritual couple. You are the brides and he is the groom. He has given so many samans, so many self-respect. So the mark of a yogi is self-respect. Last, tell me the last now. 16th. No, one is remaining. Then you must have written something more. Last, and then we will finish this class. The last mark of a yogi. Yeah, Shilpaven. Anywhere from the Murli. Tell that quality, some virtue. From somewhere, from the Murli. Is it there in Murli? Tell from the Murli. Okay, then what else? Responsibility, okay, yes. Then? Yeah? Love, that we will include in close relationships with God. So that love for God comes in that, which we already covered. Self-transformation we already said. One is remaining. Mark of a yogi. Courage. Baba said, these sisters, they are so courageous. They are courageous. Without courage, can you expect to become a yogi? You need lot of courage. It is not a cakewalk to give up the world. All the pleasures and all the frivolities, all the luxuries of the world and to tread this path of thorns. This is walk alone path. Ekla chalo re. Nobody is there with you. You walk alone and you have only one supreme support, one divine providence. So this is courage. So these are the 16 different qualities of a yogi. Okay? Om Shanti.